with Evangelist Wonder. Redeeming. So this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It was read in your devotional reading this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The writer of the Hebrew here is preparing us for a race of a lifetime, a spiritual race, a marathon race, a long distant race. It is a race whereby we must recognize, once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the race begins and does not end until life on this side is over. And I like the things that the writer of the Hebrews is saying here in this 12th chapter. As we start, you notice he starts off with the word wherefore. Wherefore. Now, wherefore as an adverb would simply mean for what reason? For what reason? But wherefore as a conjunction, which this is, speaks of it as being as a reason of which, as a reason of which. In other words, this conjunction joins together the 11th chapter here with the 12th chapter. And let me just pull out these last two verses of the 11th chapter, verse 39 and verse 40. Verse 39 says, "And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Verse 40 says, "God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now, I need you to understand, since it ends like this, chapter 12, verse 1 says, as for the reason of which this has happened, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a witness. In other words, wherefore tells us that just as those in the Old Testament of faith had someone witnessing and recording their race, their run, their preparations, their wins and their losses, so is someone or someone's looking after us in the New Testament. In other words, if you back up, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's both a description and a definition. But look, verse 2 goes on to say, for by it, or for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, it's telling you how all of these people in the 11th chapter received or obtained a good report. And guess what it was because of? Faith. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what's interesting is, from verse 4 all the way through verse 12, it names some seven different people. But at verse 13, look at what it says. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Listen, and what? Embraced them, and what? And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So what is clear about this is the fact that these people lived in faith so much so that even though they had not received the things that they were promised on this side, they still believed by faith. If they didn't get it on this side, they'd get it on the other side. And so they didn't look to God for the things only of what was promised. They looked to God for the God being to them what he would only be to them as his children, and strengthen them to run this race here on planet Earth, because there was more that he had established for us at a later time, whether it be here on Earth or whether it be in glory. And they held fast to that faith. They understood that. And so I want you to recognize, if you would look at verse 32, all the way through verse 38, it begins to name off different prophets and men and women, kings, and all of these religious or righteous people, I should say, who utilized their faith. Now, there were two groups from the 32nd to the 35th. A clause, all of those people had what you might call flourishing faith. Somebody say flourishing faith. Flourishing faith. All right. But from 35B on to 38, what appeared to be for this group of people might look like failing faith. Somebody say failing faith. Failing. Now, it was not failing faith, because when your faith is rooted in God, the circumstances may not come out like you hope they would or believe they would or want them to, they're going to come out the way God desires them to. And so one of the things you got to recognize is the people from 32 all the way to 35A, they had epic faith that allowed them to do great exploits. So it appeared as though their faith was greater than the others who had, listen, enduring faith. Enduring faith. Let me throw something out that might blow your mind. Every situation you are in, God does not always want you to immediately win it. Now, I know we think everything we're in, we got to win, and everything we're in, it's got to be with us on top and the enemy on the bottom. But there are some things God allow us to go through that will show us that God wants to see our endurance more than our epic ability to do great exploits. You see, a lot of folk, if they can't win, then they get mad, quit, and go home. But sometimes God needs some folk who know how to go through the storm. God needs some folk who know how to say, God, whatever you do, I'm willing, use me for your glory. God needs some people who are not ashamed to say, any way you use me, any way you bless me, any way you deal with me, it's all right with me, because I'm running this race for you. And so sometimes God needs some strong people like Job. What if Job would have won immediately? He would not be known as that man of patience. And that really meant patient endurance. He would not have been known as that. Why? Because he would not have endured those 42 chapters where God showed him in the end, not only do you win for enduring, but I'll give you double what you had before the race even began. Now, sometimes God wants us to be example for others. And if there's no believer willing to be used of God to be the example, then what kind of witness are we? So notice the word says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about. The word compass, of course, is like the compass itself. That's in a circumference from the north, east, south, and west, and it points us in the direction we are headed, or tell us the direction that we are heading. But here the word compass refers to this great cloud of witnesses. Now, this cloud, and I need you to understand this, this cloud represents those in the 11th chapter. And my brothers and sisters, I know you've heard me say sometime, I wish I were back in the time of some of these great men and women in the Old Testament. But after coming to the understanding of what the writer of the Hebrews is saying, he's saying to us that they were made promises that God has not yet fulfilled for them, but for us, he has already provided for us what they were waiting on. God gave it to us. And now listen, look, all of them having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Who is the promise? The promise was Jesus. the Son of God. It was the Son that God promised as a Messiah who would come and help them, et cetera, et cetera. But they died before he came. His time had not yet come. So think about all the things they accomplished and all the things they did by the power of God and yet did not have Jesus.
All right.
Now God has provided for us some better thing.
Yeah.
They didn't have salvation. We got salvation.
Yeah.
They didn't have the power of Jesus Christ. We've got the power of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. He came upon them, but he didn't indwell in them. We have that now. We have a better covenant with better promises. We have all of the things that Jesus promised when he got here for the believers. So you know what that tells me? I don't have to wish I were like those in the Old Testament. When God has given me an opportunity through Jesus to do greater things than what they did. And seeing that, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This cloud consists of patriarchs, judges, kings, prophets, and righteous men and women of God. They made up the cloud. Each one of them, in either an oval or a circular shape, has the ability to see north, east, south, and west from the cloud. Each one of them have the ability to have a banner seat or a banister seat. In other words, they can sit there and watch what's going on with you. Now keep in mind, this is the picture of Olympians in a Colosseum preparing for great contests, great battles. What would it feel like to be able to know while you are preparing your favorite saint, your favorite man or woman of God is in that cloud of witnesses looking down on you? If David was your favorite and you're going up against a Goliath situation, wouldn't it be good to know David is up there saying, come on, you can handle it.
All right.
The bigger the giants, the harder they fall.
Come on,
you can do this. Don't be scared of his height. Don't be afraid of what he looks like. Listen, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wish I had a helper here. Maybe you're about to go in a fiery situation. And the three Hebrew boys are in that cloud. And they say, wait a minute, don't let the fire fool you. If you belong to God and you keep faith in God, he'll let you go in the flames, but he won't let the flames go in you. We are witnesses. Our God is well able to deliver us, but if not, here's what we know. We're not going to change our minds. We're not going to turn around. We're going to go through it because he allowed it. See, that kind of enduring faith means that you got to go through some stuff. You'd always win on the front end. Sometimes God wants others to see how you go through some stuff that strengthens you and blesses others. Now, the word witness, it's an interesting word because it means literally spectator on one hand and martyr on the other hand. The witnesses in heaven are either spectators or martyrs. As a spectator there, they have wanted and they're there cheering you on, helping you to realize you too can make it. You got something better than what we had. And because of that, you have what you need to win. As a martyr, it's all of those persons in the 37th verse. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted means tried. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. See, these are folk who were martyrs, who were killed on the journey, who had to go through it, and yet they trusted God that in the end still they would win. And they will, because it's not over with just because they die. Listen at me, I'm trying to help you to understand. When we have been provided something, that means we have it in our hands. Just suppose Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and our girl Gail Benson were traveling and they were together going to look at some major deal, and their car broke down, flipped over, and whatever the case was. And you came along and you rescued all three of them. Bill Gates pulls out a pad and write, "I owe you, Bill Gates," and give it to you. Do you know what I owe you is? It's a promise. It's a promise. Then Warren Buffett goes in his pocket, pulls out his pad and pen, signs, "I owe you, Warren Buffett." But Gail Benson goes in her purse and pulls out her check and asks your name and write $1 million on that check and put it in your hand. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know about you. Yes, Bill Gates has billions. And yes, Warren Buffett has billions. And yes, Gail has billions. But let me say something. Warren and Bill gave you an IOU, not to say it's not good.
Come on.
But it's not good now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But when Gail Benson put that check in your hand, it's good when? Right now. And that's the difference between a promise and a provision.
Yes.
She provided what they were going to promise to give. And that meant the moment you left there and went to the bank, that $1 million could be cashed out and you'd have it right in your hand right now. But you don't know when the IOU is coming through. That's what I'm trying to help us understand. The writer is saying we've been provided a check in our hands, much better than those in the Old Testament who were given IOUs, promises. And so there we need us to understand that the martyrs and the spectators are in that cloud looking down over that Colosseum, watching us prepare for the race of our lives. Three things they say. After they talk about where they are and how they're positioned and what they're doing, it says, what? What next? And, all right, let us do what? Let us lay aside one, every weight. Two, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Three, and let us run with patience. And let us run with patience. All right, let's talk with these few things and then I'm closing. Listen.
Yes, sir.
It's important to see how everything is already set up, how the Hebrew writer is putting everything in place. It's all in order now. And now he deals with us. He was dealing with those in the 11th chapter, those folk of faith who had great faith, who had flourishing faith, and who had what seemed to be failing faith, but it wasn't failing faith, it was enduring faith, because they endured even unto death. They endured. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, it depend on the customized course that God has for you that will depend how your race ends. Listen. So now he's saying, let us lay aside every weight. First of all, let's look at the locations of the weight. Many athletes doing various things put weights on their ankles. Put weights around their waist. Put weights around their wrists.
Yes, sir.
Hold weights in their hands. Some of them put weights around their necks. And even some carry weights on their backs.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.